Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Now, I hope that everyone is realizing that you are a divined individual, that you are connected with this thing called God, and that you can use this connection to make your life better. That is what this is all about. But we have to come to the conclusion that we are one with God, since God is all there is. So if your mind, your consciousness, is trying to keep you separated, that little ego mind is trying to say to you, oh no, don't go there, you'll lose yourself, whatever, you must tell it to shut up and continue with your thinking how connected you are to this power, to this source, to this thing that we call God. Because we are all connected to God. As I tell you, God would be incomplete without us. God needs each and every one of us. So, with that said, will you read? And if you can, I'll read it.
Oh, okay, I like that. I am now engaged in my divine design.
I am now engaged in my divine design.
I am now engaged in my divine design.
Thank you. I am now engaged in my divine design.
I am now engaged in my divine design.
I am now engaged in my divine design.
And I am now engaged in my divine design. This month we're going to talk about purpose. And we can go any which way with that we want to. So we'll see where this leads us. But that is why you must know that you are engaged in your divine design. If you feel that you're not, then we must do something to correct that so that you know that what you are doing because of divinity. Because that is what you want to do, and that is in the direction that you're going. Now, before I go any further with that, I'm glad that we have 1, 2, 3 actors over here. Did you three see the SAG Awards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of us. No. Did you hear Ernest Boyd and I?
No.
Oh,
you, Ernest Borgnine, I did not know, is 94 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He is robust. He jumped right up on the stage. But for actors and for anybody, here is somebody that found his divine design, stuck with his divine design. All these 50 or more years that he's been acting, he's loving every moment of it. He's still enthralled with it. But he gave such a wonderful message to actors, and you can look it up on the internet. Do hear what he has to say. Just to highlight some of it, that the privilege that you have being an actor and what you owe to the people, you see, you have to hear it for yourself. I thought it would, I don't know, I never knew it was that eloquent.
Mm.
But it's marvelous. It's good whether you're an actor or not. The little, and it's only maybe 4 minutes long at the most. But it pinpoints everything. He didn't have to be an actor. It would pinpoint anyone that has reached 94 years of age and has had a wonderful life, loving every moment of it, because he found his divine design. So please, if you can, find it on the internet and hear what he has to say. But I was absolutely amazed that he's robust and he's agile and he's still, you know, working. I think the last movie he made was Red, you see, and that's just, what, a year or two ago?
Yeah.
A year maybe ago. So he's still working. So you can work at any age and you can do it. But when you see, the main thing in life is your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a wonderful attitude. And if you can keep your attitude correct, and you have that choice, by the way. You know, people, oh, I wish I had that type of attitude. You have to choose to have that type of attitude. You have to decide that that's the attitude that you want and then keep that attitude. Not all watching all these other people come and go and thinking that they have no choice and I wish I could be like him. You can be like anybody you want. You can emulate anybody. You can, if you want to use the word, take from, steal from, or whatever. Always place yourself around somebody that's successful, somebody that has a good attitude, and let all that stuff rub off on you. Let all that stuff rub off on you. See? And this is what people do not do. And we have many expressions in our language. Birds of a feather flock together, meaning people of the same consciousness flock together. The other most amazing thing is, if you lie down with dogs, you come up covered with fleas. If you lie down with all these people that have low consciousness and all, you're never going to be able to raise your consciousness. You're never going to be able to do that. And we see that. In fact, here in this police station, if you've ever noticed, we have cops and robbers. But after a while, the lines get blurred. And you no longer know who the cop is and who the robber is. What do I mean by that? Cops, because they're around these people all the time, start to emulate those people. They get just as bad as the criminal they're after. Because that's consciousness. You see, you cannot be around unless you have a very high level of consciousness. You cannot be around that stuff without absorbing it, because we're always living in a thought atmosphere. And you have to know what thought atmosphere you're in. And you know what I mean by thought atmospheres. Do you ever go into a home or into a business or into a restaurant or something and it doesn't feel good? Mm-hmm. That's because of the thought atmosphere. I think it was last week, wasn't it, when I said all those other shop owners could be going down the tubes, and if I opened a store there, my store would succeed because I would set up a thought atmosphere of success. You see, at the present moment, people are not setting up thought atmospheres of success. They're coming up with thought atmospheres of failure, of lack and limitation, because the world at the present moment is reflecting that, you see. But we're the ones in our consciousness that started the whole thing, and then we keep it going because we don't know any better, you see. It dates back to the idea of Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, which I'm almost sure came from Napoleon Hill. I'm sure he was the one who wrote that. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It doesn't matter. But keep that fear away from you, you see. Keep any type of fear that the world's teaching you away. You see, you cannot have God and fear. That's two different thought atmospheres going on. You can't have the two going on. You can't say, I believe in God, but, oh, did you lock the door at home? I'm afraid the burglars would get in. You know, I had somebody call me on the telephone. Today. And said, do you know that the FBI reports that there's a robbery every 15 minutes? Wouldn't you like to do something about it? I hung up. I hung up. You know, I don't set up fear in my consciousness. Mm. Now, we have to know that all that stuff exists in the world. You do not have to let it exist in your life. Just because everyone else is doing it, I don't care if everyone else gets broken into on my block, I'm not going to get broken into. Because it's done with consciousness. What is mine by right of consciousness must remain mine. See, I notice that stuff belongs to me. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And if they take it, it must come back to me because it doesn't belong to them. You see? So you get rid of that type of fear. always get rid of the fear that's in your life. Now, that has very little to do with purpose. So, let's look at this word purpose. Many people want to know what their purpose is in life. Well, or what is the purpose of life? You can look at it from any way you want. But the purpose you choose is your purpose. The purpose you choose is your purpose. You must choose and say, this is who I want to be, this is what I want to be, this is what I am doing. That becomes your purpose. Now, the purpose of life itself, what is this purpose? Everyone wants to know, you know, it's that old mystery. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Why are we here? Why are we human beings? Why were we created in the first place? Yada, yada, yada. Well, instead of thinking of all that, think, what is the purpose? Why would I be here? Don't you think it would be, if you know that you're one with this thing called God, to learn how to be more of God, to take in these God-like qualities and so forth, then your purpose would become spiritual. Your purpose would become spiritual. Now, you can have a spiritual purpose or you can have a worldly purpose. It's your choice again. There's many ways to go through this thing called life. But you can pick the one that you want. A worldly thing, if you think your purpose here is money, relationships, success, big homes, big cars, all this type of thing, that's what the world is teaching you. I'm not saying there's one thing wrong with that. You may do that. But there's a better way to do it. And that's learning to become spiritual. You see, not that you're not already spiritual, you just don't recognize that. I had a conversation the other day with a friend of mine on the phone about spirituality. First of all, you have to know that we're all spirit. We'll always be spirit. You can't take that away. At the present moment, we're wearing this human body, this flesh and so forth, this is what they call a sack of water, we're living inside of that, but we're spirit. Now, you cannot add to spirit. You can add to your knowledge, but you can't add to spirit. People want to become more spiritual. You cannot become more spiritual. You can have more knowledge about spirit, but you can't become any more spiritual than you already are. So give up that idea that you want to become more spiritual or that you think you needed something added to you. You need nothing added to you. Most of the time in life, we don't need things added to us. We need things taken away from us. We have too many thoughts going on in our minds. It is not necessary. We have to empty ourselves and empty our mind, you see. I think the Buddhists refer to emptiness as a state of divinity. Because when you're empty, you're seeing things just the way they are. When you're not empty, you're interpreting them through the knowledge that you think you have of them. Does that make sense to you? You're seeing? So try to keep yourself empty. That's that whole idea of lighten up. Get rid of some of that stuff. It doesn't, you know. We don't need all that stuff. So, the world, it's all right to look at the world, to be in this world, but not of this world. And I said a couple weeks ago, everything you see in front of you is form. It's some kind of a thought form. It's some kind of a form that your consciousness has come up with. But it's just a form. It's not life itself, you see. It's a form. Now, you can have all the forms in life that you want. The cars, the houses, the whatever you want, clothes. But they're all just forms. And they're wonderful to have. And you should have fun with them, and you should be able to play with them. But you cannot make them be the end-all, be-all of your life. And this is what many people do. And then they think that that's all life is. I want more money. I want a bigger job. I want a bigger house. I want this. I want that. I remember a couple of years ago I saw a bumper sticker that said, the one who dies with the most toys wins. You know, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Wins what? You see, the thing in life, and that's what so many people think. I want, get me more, and then this will be my purpose in life, to collect all this stuff. That's not your spiritual purpose in life. Your spiritual purpose in life is to what? Learn to love yourself just the way you are. Learn to accept yourself just the way you are. And learn to change the things that you don't like about yourself. Just change them. Only you can do that. And you have to do that by making up your mind. Oh, I can be a different person. I can get rid of this. I can do this, that, and the other thing. The present moment, I'm trying to give up swearing. You see, when you people aren't around, I swear a great deal. In my own home. Oh, yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. I do.
I like it.
Yeah. I swear. And I think to myself, I could correct that. So I'm learning to correct it. It's a habit. It's an absolute habit. But this is what we do, people. We fall for the habits of this world. You know, I tell you that the world is very convincing. The world is also habit forming. We fall for all the habits that the world puts out in front of us. And we think, oh, that's the way it is. That's the way to live. And it's not the way to live, you know. I saw a sign that said, opening a can of Coke is finding happiness or something. It was something. I mean, we have all these little expressions, and they may, you know, maybe somebody thinks, oh, if I open this Coke can and drink this Coke, I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's not what that does. If you want to be happy, you have to make up your mind to be happy. And that was our famous president there, Abraham Lincoln, who said, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You must make up your mind to be happy. Nothing out there. You think that something can make you happy. If it does make you happy, it only lasts an instant. You see, if I gave you $1 million, that would make you happy for the moment. But you'd have the exact same problems that you had when you didn't have the $1 million. People think that the $1 million will be happiness. No, it won't be happiness. It may help and so forth. The same way people think, oh, if I have a lot of money, I won't have any problems. Yes, you will. Your problems will just be bigger and different. People with money have problems. Money does not take problems out of the equation. Only you take problems out of the equation. And with money, we know, at the present time, my example of somebody with lots of money and has no idea what his purpose is in life is Charlie Sheen. You know, he makes $2.5 million an episode. That's $2.5 million a week. And when you think, oh, if I make $2.5 million a week, I'd be the happiest person in the world. Now, he cannot be happy because he runs around beating up people, mostly women. And he takes drugs and alcohol and that stuff, you see. Now, what does that tell us about him? Well, it tells us that he doesn't know that he's worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that he matters. Anyone that lashes out at somebody else, I punch somebody. I'm not punching them. I'm punching myself. I'm disgusted with myself, not the other person. You see? But he doesn't know that. Now, do we forgive him? Well, yes, we forgive everybody. He has to figure out that out for himself. But I don't go around feeling sorry for him. Absolutely not. In fact, if I were in his presence, I'd probably kick him in the rear end and say, get a grip. What's wrong with you? You know, you have all this potential, you have all this going for you. Why are you doing this? Why are you destroying your own self, and why are you hurting other people? So that's not a purpose in life, is it? To hurt people. No, that's not a very good, that's not taking what they call the high road. The high road in life. And that's what we want to be on. What's called the high road in life, and see things from a different perspective. So you can go through your whole life doing what the world says. Or you can go through life figuring out spiritually, what would God do in this situation? How would God handle this? And why is that so important to be able to say that? How would God handle this? Because you are some part of God. You are a God in the making. So you say to yourself, huh, how would God handle this? At nighttime, when I'm by myself and all, I do not, people say to me, oh, you must meditate a lot. No, I don't meditate. Sometimes, but not, you know, I was never a big fan of meditating. I did transcendental meditation when it first came out, and I did it faithfully till my little mantra, you know, you paid to find out that mantra. My little mantra finally came down in my mind when I do it, sharing. It no longer was a Sanskrit word. I mean, it transformed itself into just sharing. I have no idea what the original thing was that I started with, you know. But back to in the evenings, when I'm thinking about different things, I think, how could things be differently? How could I act differently? Not how can I change the world? You can't change the world, people. If you think you're going to change the world, give that idea up. You're not going to change the world. The only way you can change the world is to change yourself. And that's what you have to, your purpose in life is to change yourself. Your purpose in life is to see through the eyes of God. And see how God sees things. Not how humans see things. How the world sees things, or the news media tells you how to see things. Because that is not taking the high road. Not taking the high road at all. And we want to be able always to see things from a different perspective. You know, I said to you before, the world has only two ways of looking at something. It's either yes or it's no. And you must always go to a third way. And the third way is always a God way of doing something. So when you're sitting with yourself or sitting with any problem, you could say yes or no. Oh, why, there's a third way. Why don't I look up and see the third way? Why don't I see what that would do for me? And you just do that in your mind and in your imagination. And then you start to see things differently. You start to change. But you cannot change as long as you believe everything that the world is telling you. Because the world is devious. You think your mind is devious. The world's very devious. It tells you at that moment what it needs to tell you. You see. Not what's true, not what's false, not what's anything. Just what it needs to do at the present moment. And you must look past that and see that those things differently. So it boils down to realizing, yes, I'm learning to be one with this thing called God. To be totally absorbed in that. Now, when I say totally absorbed in that does not mean you're going to lose your personality. It does not mean you're going to lose anything. It means you're going to gain a great deal. What would be one of the things that you would gain? You would gain peace of mind. You could be able to give up fear and realize that fear is man-made. It's made with your mind. You see? It's made with your mind. We talked earlier about tithing and how to do the different types of tithing. And August said something that struck me about this about tithing, which now has completely gone through my mind, it'll come back. Nothing in mind is ever lost. It always comes back around again. So we don't have to fear that. Your purpose is to get yourself to a point where you absolutely believe that you are one with this thing called God. It's to bring yourself to the point where you know that you're good and you're nothing but good. Have you brought yourself to that point yet? I'm good. I'm really good. Oh my goodness. You mean I'm good? Yeah, you're good. You have to know that you're good. It doesn't matter the actions. It doesn't matter what you think you have done. You have to know that you are good. Why is that so important? Because of this thing called God. Remember, God created everything and looked around and said it was good. It was good. So if we knew that we were good, if Charlie Sheen knew that he was good, he wouldn't be out beating people up. When you know that you're really good and everybody else is good, what is it? Do you see that? Only goodness. Only goodness. So your purpose here is to see that goodness and to see your own divinity. If you can't come to the word divinity, come to goodness. You know? How many people heard in their lifetime, you're a good boy, you're a good girl? Or do you remember, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl? Because bad sticks out, you see. And I don't know the type of home that you came up with. You had to really search, because it was only inferred that you were good. It was never told that you were good. But it certainly was told when you were bad. See, you're bad. But they never said, oh, you're good. So most people don't know that they're good. They still have that little piece in them that thinks, oh, I'm bad. I heard that when I was a child, I'm a bad boy. And how often do we hear, oh, you're a bad boy. You're a bad girl. So now it's time for us to change that. And forgive those people. They didn't know what they were doing. You know. When you become aware of that inside of you, that you are good, that also is life-changing. It's life-changing. Now, all these things, to be good or to be divined and all that stuff, you do not have to run around and say to somebody, guess what, I'm spiritual, I'm divined, I'm good, I'm this, I'm that. You have to know that. You have to know that. I'm always leery when somebody comes up to me and says, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. I want to go, ha, ha, ha. I doubt that. Seriously, I don't say anything. But I don't believe that. Because you don't, you know, you have to become humble. You see, we don't brag about this thing. We just know that we're good. And that's all that's going to come to us. You see, if you know that you're good, you're going to attract good. If you know that you're bad, you're going to attract bad. Now, I'm saying, even if you have this little bit of thinking that's bad, 1% bad and 99% good, you have to get rid of the 1%. You have to get rid of that from your consciousness. See, you not only owe that to yourself, you owe that to this thing we call God. You see, we owe that to this thing called God. Yes. We can always go back. You see, if you think you've done anything that would keep you from this thing called God, give that idea up. Give that idea up. And remember the prodigal son. We, in our lifetime, have all been the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. We have all strayed away from our center. We've all strayed away from our source. And we've strayed away from God. But as soon as we decide to go home, what happens? This power comes out to greet us. And it never says, you were bad. Never says you were bad. It embraces you and says, come home. We will celebrate together. We will celebrate together. That's what you want as a purpose in life, people, is to celebrate this whole thing. To celebrate it. This thing called life. To be happy and glad that you're alive, that you are breathing, and that you can see all the goodness and all the wonder around you. Now, when I say that, when I say, oh, the goodness and all this around us and the beauty and the magnificence and all, I get thrilled at a sunset, a sunrise. I love looking out my kitchen window at these trees I have. All that stuff is worth more than money or anything else. And where else are you going to get those things? You see, the greatest paintings in the world, the greatest artists in the world, cannot produce a sunrise or sunset. No, they can't. The colors, oh, the things that, gee, all that is thrilling. We have so much here, and we don't seem to recognize it. We have to learn to recognize all these, if you want to call them the simple things in life, and then call them the simple things in life. You see. But we got taken up by the world where it says, oh, no, don't watch a sunset. Let's turn on the television. Let's go to a movie. Let's do this and that. And so this, here's God's handiwork in front of you. And you're doing something else. Now here again, don't punish yourself if that's what you're doing. You must love yourself in every situation. And you must love yourself to the point where you no longer do those things. So, you no longer do them. Very easy. So that's a purpose. That's a purpose in life. Your purpose in life can be your job. It doesn't necessarily have to be. See, the world would like to tell you that. But if you want to use your spirit, then what would the spirit like? Don't you think the spirit would soar by seeing the heavens at nighttime, by seeing the sun, the moon, all these beautiful things, the ocean, all the forests? Oh my goodness, I love forests. I think they're wonderful. There is no cathedral in the world that is as beautiful as that grove of redwoods. When you're in the looking up at that grove of redwoods, better than any cathedral I've ever been in, and I've been in a lot of cathedrals around the world. See, we cannot duplicate that. See, I think what man tries to do, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way. I'm never condemning these things. I love those beautiful churches. Thank God they did it. Look at St. Peter's. I think that's wonderful, magnificent thing. But man tries to make something in competition, I'm going to use that word, with God. We'll build a great big cathedral, and that will impress God, and it'll impress the people. Instead of saying to people, look, there's the most wonderful tree. There's a sunset. You see, so we're conditioned to believe that those things, although people look at them and say, they're beautiful. But we're conditioned to think, but there has to be more. You can have your redwood, but I want my cathedral. Nothing wrong with that. Have the cathedral if you want. But don't keep discounting these wonderful creations of God that are out there. Don't discount that. Look at it and say, I can't do that. But there's a power in the universe someplace that knows how to do that. So we think we're so smart, and we are, and we're getting smarter, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to know, as smart as we get, this thing called God is much more intelligent than we are. You see, much more intelligent. And I don't know what human being, and I often think of this, what human being could, oh, well, we could make an ecosystem where people could live. Like the Earth, there's an ecosystem. Well, would we know enough to have a sun? And then how about that beautiful moon when it comes out? I just think moon, I love moons. Would we know enough to put a moon in the sky? Not just for beauty, but that moon does, look what all that moon does. It holds us in its orbit for one thing. Would we know enough, oh, let's throw another thing up there and that'll help balance this off and this will have, you know, as smart as we are, we can't think of all that stuff. We just can't think of that stuff. So look at all those wonderful things and know that there is something out there. There is a power out there of some sort. And you can be one with that power and make that your purpose in life. To become one with this thing, God. And I'm going to use this term, on equal terms. On equal terms, you see, people think that they're less than God. You can't be less than God. You can't be less than God because you are God. You see, it's God in us and through you. It's God in us and through me. It's God as Dallas. And it's Dallas as God. That's another thing that the human mind likes to think. That we're less than. We're not less than, and we're certainly not less than God. You see, that would make us inferior, wouldn't it? And we're not inferior. Nor are we superior. We are spiritual. And we have the same, exact same qualities as this thing called God. So our purpose is to find those qualities, accept those qualities, and become those qualities. That's what this purpose in life is for. And yet we think it's for something else. We think it's for something else. And here again, you can do all the things that you want to do and make all the money you want to make. There is nothing wrong with any of that. There is nothing wrong with collecting every form that you can play with. Because this is a wonderful playground. Have you ever heard the expression, I am at play in the field of God? And you are. So be happy and have fun and play with these things. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, oh no, you must be stern and severe and punish yourself in some way, then you can get close to God. God doesn't punish anything. God wouldn't know how to punish somebody. Only we know how to do that. And we can learn not to do that. A couple weeks ago I said, you know, it's not necessary to judge. The world teaches that you have to judge everything. It's not necessary. You don't have to judge anything. You don't have to judge anything. Just look at things. Remember, it is as it is. I am who I am, and the only time is now. Just look at things and don't judge them. Here again, the habit of the world. And we do the same thing as the world. The world judges everything, and we think we have to judge everything. So we can learn to change that about ourselves and about the world itself. It's always going to start with us. It's always going to be inside of us. and work its way outward. I know a lady, a very good friend of mine. Her name is Beverly. She's 88 years old. She's moving back east to be with her daughter because she feels it's that time. And I think she's making the right decision because now she can go through the stuff she has and keep what she wants, get rid of it, give what she wants to other people. Beverly worked hard all her life. She was the head of a Red Cross, whatever they do, a Red Cross thing. And she's always been leery of money to the point of being fearful about money. But the reason why I bring this up is because for the last 20 or 30 years, she's been a student of Lazarus. For those people who don't know who Lazarus is, it's a man by the name of Jack Purcell, and an entity, but he's a channel, for this entity called Lazarus that speaks through him. But Lazarus, and I've heard him many times, never teaches fear, never teaches any of that kind of stuff. So finally, at 88 years old, she asked her financial, because she was afraid that she would outlive her money, she asked her financial advisor, and he said, well, let me get the figures. He said, how much would you like more money? She said, well, at least $15,000 more a year, so I could give gifts and do what I want with it. And he came back to her and said, you will never be able to outlive your money, and without touching the principal, you can have $15,000 a year. See? Don't wait till you're 88 years old to give up fear. She waited 88 years. She was in fear most of her life. Fear of money. Fear of not having enough. Delightful person. Delightful person. Sophisticated. Charming. But filled with fear. But filled with fear. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Now, I remember, back in my mind, August and the tithing routine and the bills do get paid and so forth. My mother was loaded with fear and always fear about bills. She had a cousin, Dorothy. Dorothy always was in church. Dorothy wasn't wealthy. And Dorothy one day said to my mother, well, have you ever noticed, Alma, that somehow all the bills get paid. Somehow all the bills get paid. And that's what you have to know. Somehow. Now you don't go crazy with that. But you have to know you're going to figure it out. Because if you can't figure it out, you're one with the source that can figure it out. And that's what Dorothy was trying to tell my mother. This thing called God will see you through this. Give up the worry. Give up the stress. And so many people are so worried about not meeting their obligations at the end of the month financially. And you shouldn't be that. If you live in a universe that is abundant and is prosperous, and you are one with that, then you have to be able to pay your bills. You have to be able to pay your bills. They will get paid. And you've seen that in your own life. You've seen that. Now learn to do it and learn to believe it. You see? And this thing called God will come to your aid. Will come to your aid. Okay? So, what do we know about ourselves? We are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. Let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. so know that, that you matter and that you really, really matter. And you matter not only to yourself, but you matter to this thing called God. But start with yourself and know that you matter, that you're completely good. You're completely good. Oh, I'm good. Just sit and ponder that. Or meditate on it if you want. But ponder that idea. Oh, I'm good. How could that be? I never thought I was good. Well, I thought it was okay. But I didn't know. I'm good. I'm really good. Know that about yourself. That you're really good. You'll see just a wee little things make all the difference in your life. Because it changes the premise from which you're thinking. Changes the premise from which you're thinking. And you know, you see people, if they don't like themselves, what they're talking about and all reflects that. What they're talking about reflects. You can't hide that type of thing. You know, you cannot hide consciousness. It's like a slip that's showing. You will always be able to see it. Always be able to see it. So, know that you are connected to God. You can't become any more spiritual. You can learn more. But you can't add anything to spirit. Because spirit is always whole and complete and perfect. If you're trying to add something to it or to yourself, you're saying, oh, I'm not whole. I'm not complete and not perfect. You see? Doesn't mean we don't leave room for improvement. But it means we don't beat ourselves up. We don't beat ourselves up. We love ourselves. Because we were created in love. And that's all there really is. And that's the only power there really is. Is this thing called love. And you're one with that. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Dallas.
Basket here for donations.
An artist in
London
for Rosa Street.
Oh,
amazing. Yeah. Yeah.